Well, that's where your hope ought to be tonight. Your hope shouldn't be in yourself, shouldn't be in your church, shouldn't be in your goodness, shouldn't be in your preacher. It should be in the blood. And I hope that's where your hope is tonight. Tonight, I'd like you to open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I want to bring you a portion, just a portion of a message that I've preached over the years in different parts of the United States in revivals. And I just want to give us that thought again tonight because it's so relevant to what we need at this time. We are today just started our fall Sunday school campaign. I don't want this time to go by without us doing the best we can. And so tonight we'll look at 1 Samuel 17. This was when David was getting ready to go fight the giant. They had tried to talk him out of it, and he insisted on going anyway. They said, "You're too young. You're too little. You can't fight. You're not a soldier. You'll never make it. He's too big for you. This is ridiculous." But David said, "There's something bigger than me and you and that giant and that army. There's a cause." Look at verse 29. "And David said, 'What have I now done? Is there not a cause?'" Can I have your attention just for a few minutes tonight? I want to preach on that subject. Is there not a cause? Please, everybody listen to me a minute. Don't look at your cell phones. Don't look down. Listen to me for a minute. We have 3 more weeks in this program that we're doing, and it's really snuck up on us because of that Alabama revival. It was here before I could really get everything ready for it like I wanted to. And, of course, I thank God for what He has done and is doing down in Alabama. They're still doing real good. Talked to the pastor yesterday. And word of that revival spread around the country. Thank God for it. But what I'd like to ask you to do tonight is everybody here, I want you to listen to this message just like it's you. One of the worst things about a church growing, our church is getting bigger and bigger. You know, we're like 20 having 400 here this morning, and hope to have 500 next Sunday. But the worst thing about that is, if you're not careful, you'll just sort of get hid in the crowd. You know, some churches where there's 25 or 30, boy, people've got to do everything. As the church gets bigger, you have a tendency to sort of just duck out and let somebody else come up and do the work. And the truth is this evening, God wants everybody in this church doing something. And I do remind you that when you joined this church, you made a commitment. You made a commitment to back it up, to be a part of it. And just like your marriage vows, just like on your job, you joined the army or whatever. You make commitments. And if you're not careful, it would be like me saying, "I need to move this sewing machine. Will somebody help me move this sewing machine?" And 2 or 3 guys help me move this sewing machine. If you're not careful, you'll sit there and think, they're doing it. I'll just sit here and rest. So I want to ask you to do me a favor. Act like that you're the only one sitting here tonight, and I'm preaching right to you. There's a cause. There's a cause. Tonight, I want to say a few things about this cause. I'm certainly not the best Christian in the world, best preacher, nothing like that. Don't claim to be. I never have. But I do claim to believe the Bible, and I do know that what we got here is right. And I do know that what we got here is rare. And it's getting rarer, if there is such a word as rarer. More rare. It's getting harder to find, brother. And there's very few churches you can go to anymore where there's enough spiritual power to blow the spiritual bugger out of their spiritual nose, really. There's very few churches that you can go to tonight where there's real conviction, where anybody cries. I know what I'm talking about because everywhere I go, they say, "Where do y'all find them songs? Where do y'all find them songs?" All we can find is You know, everywhere you go, all you can find is, my God is this, my God is that, my God is that. You know, that's all they have. That's all they have out there anymore. Just about all of them. And where do you find, I have people ask me, where do you find them songs? I don't know. They come out of the mountain somewhere, I reckon. But even the singing in a church tells you the spiritual tone of that church. Especially the men singing. You can always tell a King James Bible-believing church because you can hear the men singing. I don't know why that is, but a King James Bible-believing church produces young preachers and young men that are soldiers, not sissy. They don't want to be Eminem. They want to be George Whitefield or John Wesley or somebody like that. You boys, your idol shouldn't be Eminem. If you can't beat that for an idol, you ain't much, you know, you got some low sights, man. I mean, if your idol is somebody like him, you need to raise your sights a little bit. Set your things on high, things above, something higher than that. So tonight, I'm going to talk about what we need to be doing, and then I'm going to give us a challenge tonight, and I hope that everybody in here will take the challenge. There's a cause tonight, first of all, for old-time gospel preaching. It seems few and far between to hear the old-time gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, that God loves you and wants to forgive you. Now, the word preach, I don't know if you know this or not, but the word preach means to proclaim strongly, to urge. It means to rap back and let her fly. That's what it means. That's what the word preach means. Recommend strongly. Many people today are decent human beings because their mom and dad took them to a gospel preaching church on Sunday when they were young. That's, you know, most of these country singers that you see, like Dolly Parton, like a lot of them, even Leanne Rimes and even Britney Spears, you know where they learned to sing? In the church, in the choir, singing in church. And God blessed them, and that's where they learned how to use their talent. Then they went out and used for the devil a lot of times. But did you know tonight that a lot of them have a conscience today because their grandpas and grandmas took them to church when they was little? We're living in a generation that ain't going to have no conscience in another 20 years if there's not churches like this and old-fashioned Bible preaching. Nowadays, they want you to speak. They want you to rap with them. They want you to carry on a dialect. Anything but preach. When you go to an average youth meeting, youth director gets up and says, now young people, we're not going to preach to you tonight. You know, I always sit there thinking, well, what's wrong with preaching tonight? Ain't a sin. They need to be preached to. I used to have people ask all the time. They said, how in the world do you have such a strong youth group? And I said, they said, what do you do? They said, you ever take them bowling? I said, never. They said, you ever take them skating? I said, not one time. They said, y'all ever go to Carowind? Not nary a time. I said, yeah, there we go. They said, you against that? And I said, no, but the world can do that. If that's all we can give them, you ain't going to have no youth group like that. I said, well, preach the devil out of them, and I'll take them to revival almost every Friday night and give them something to do. You're not going to beat that. You're not going to beat that. You're not going to beat raising kids, letting them cut their teeth on the back of a church pew and a songbook and hearing preaching and hearing mom and daddy sing in the choir and seeing mom and daddy go to the altar. You're not going to beat it, ladies and gentlemen. And it's dying out. It's dying out. You don't find it. You know why people drove hundreds of miles to that revival in Alabama? Because it is so rare to go to a church where people are crying and young people are falling in the altar. Like trees getting knocked down by a hurricane. Every time I'd give an invitation, it'd be like these entire two sections right here immediately at one time just falling in the altar. That's what it was. Every single night for 10 straight nights. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a cause for old-fashioned Bible preaching. You've heard the illustration before. They said a little country church was up on top of a hill one time, and a little country church was caught on fire. And everybody in the community got them a bucket like this, and they was running up the hill. You know, everybody got their bucket of water like that, and everybody's running up the hill to throw their bucket of water on the fire and put it out. And it just so happened that the church deacon and the town atheist was running right side by side. And the deacon looked over to the atheist and said, "Ha ha, I ain't never seen you run in the church." And the church, and the atheist looked back at the deacon and said, "I ain't never seen the church on fire." And I thought about that, and I thought, "Yes, sir, that's right. Listen, brother, we thought about all these sorry, good-for-nothing people won't go to church. I hear people go to church and say, these good-for-nothing people won't come to church." Listen, you can't blame people for not wanting to go to most churches. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to go neither. We've got to have something they can't find out in the world. We've got to have something they can't find at the pool hall. We've got to find something they can't find at the crack house. There's got to be something else at God's house that they can't find at the school house, or the drug house. They've got to be at the jail house or anywhere else. We've got to have old-fashioned Bible preaching. That's why they prefer a movie or a game or anything. Anything's more interesting. I read about old Billy Sunday, and Billy Sunday was the premier American evangelist before the time of Billy Graham. He really was. Billy Sunday was a great preacher. They said Billy Sunday personally shook hands, put his hand in the hand of 1 million converts, not counting the ones he never met. And they said, Billy Sunday, they'd go to a town, they'd build a big tabernacle, and brother would seat, 7,000 or 8,000, 10,000 people, and they had no sound system, and they'd build them things to where acoustically it'd throw your voice. And Billy Sunday, they said, he held some records, they said, in baseball, when he could run the bases faster than about anybody held around, and he run the bases barefooted playing baseball. And he got saved at the Pacific Garden Mission, one of them places, and old Billy Sunday come and started preaching, and brother, that old boy preached, and they said he run back and forth on the platform. You think I'm wild? He run back and forth. They said he wound up with his jacket off, wound up with his shirt off, and preaching in his undershirt. And you'd better not hope I do that, because I don't wear undershirts. I was just stupid to wear two shirts. Why? One's bad enough. But anyway, he'd wind up just preaching in his t-shirt. And buddy, I'll tell you what, they said he'd wind up with it walking on his britches leg. He broke chairs on the platform, broke chairs, and he wrote his notes in great big letters like that right there. And somebody said, "Preacher, why do you write your notes so big?" He said, "So I can read them when I run past the pulpit." That's the way he was. I'm telling you, that was the main evangelist in America before the time of Billy Graham. We've changed, ain't we? Have we changed, brother, to that whatever that thing is up at that Crystal Cathedral, where he comes in, with his collar on backwards, and says, "The Lord is in his holy temple, and all the earth keep silence before him. Amen. Amen. Oh, hush. Oh, shut up." That's right, brother. Listen, you know what we need? I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, but we are the cause for old-fashioned Bible preaching. Don't you ever be ashamed of it. Don't you ever be ashamed of a preacher. Don't you ever be ashamed to be called a preacher if you're a preacher. Don't you ever be ashamed of preaching. Jesus Christ was a preacher. There's a cause tonight for old-fashioned Bible preaching. Somebody said, "Now, these old preachers preach little sermonettes for Christianettes. They become majorettes, smoke cigarettes, and that day when they ought to be just preaching old-fashioned Bible, Holy Ghost preaching, and brother, get the Word of God out." Amen. We're too worried about the Methodists beating us in the line at the steakhouse and don't want to hear no preaching from the Word of God anymore. I'm telling you, brother, we've got to be able to give them something the world can't give them. You've heard me give that illustration before. There's one of them old dead preachers up in the old country, and he's over there giving his Sunday morning address like this. Then it's 4 o'clock. And there's a guy sit up in the balcony, and he sit up way back there in the balcony. He said, "I say, old brother, could you speak up just a tad? We can't hear you." He just kept on doing just like he done. About 5 minutes later, that guy stepped up. He said, "I say, old chap, could you speak up? We can't hear you." He just kept on right on going just like he was. Finally, guy stood up again, way up yonder on top. He said, "I say there, brother, could you speak up?" Somebody way down here on the front stood up and said, "Hey, man, thank God you can't hear. Sit down, shut up." That's right, brother. He said, "You better be glad you don't have to listen to this stuff. I'm glad. Listen, I drive 50, I drive 75 miles on Sunday to hear somebody open the Bible and preach it. We need preaching, people. We need preaching. We need preaching. Nothing can take the place of preaching. If I go for a while and don't hear no preaching, I want to hear somebody preach. I want to put a tape in. I put tapes in you say, well, you're a preacher, you're supposed to... No, no, you're a Christian. You ought to crave it. There ought to be an appetite inside you. When you feel yourself drifting, don't you know something inside you says, I want somebody... I mean, I look forward to Brother Frankie. I look forward to Frankie coming to camp me. And you get up here and wear them old cowboy boots. I do that, I have no idea. But they do. And I like for him to get up here in them cowboy boots and stomp this platform and go get that Indian high call he's got, brother, and just rag back and preach the house down. I look forward to that. I like to see old Hallelujah House. He does more preaching sitting on the pew than most of them do in the pulpit. I like to see him up here. I mean, he's like, amen, thank God, Lord, I don't know why he does it. I like to see him, amen. I like to see him, brother. I like to hear Brother Randy. I like to hear him, Brother White. I like to hear him. I think, brother, we have a cause for old fashioned preaching. You know what you're going to do? You ought to go to work and say, guess what? We're having my church next week. We're having preaching. We're having the Carolina camp meeting. Listen, you're not having a great singing group. You're not having a contemporary gospel group so that we can, the young people can relate. No, we're not. We're having some people relate to you, all right, and just preach the pure devil out of you. That's what those young people need. Amen. We don't need to move the pews back and get a rock band in here and all dance, you know, and sway, you know. You say, well, that's the only way we're going to get them. You ain't getting them. Amen, you ain't getting them. Their bodies are there, their hearts out there, the honky-tonk. I'm telling you tonight, brother, there's a cause for old-fashioned Holy Ghost Bible preaching. That's going to get the job done. There ain't nothing going to take your place out of it. Amen. I'm telling you what, brother. Listen, we need old-fashioned Bible preaching. Know that? There's a cause tonight to preserve America's Christian heritage. You got to search and search and search to find God in America and in school in history books anymore. They're trying to erase God and the Bible out of our history. But tonight, as I told you this morning, our nation was founded upon the principles of this book and upon, excuse me, the Word of God. Here's something you'll never hear in school, kids. If you do, you tell me about it, and I apologize, but I doubt it. Christopher Columbus, quote, Christopher Columbus, you know who he is? Now, they'll never tell you this in school. They ought to put it up on the board today, kids. We have a quote from Christopher Columbus, quote, it was the Lord who put it into my mind. I could feel his hand upon me. There is no question but the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit. Anybody learn that in school? If you went to Christian school, you probably did. But I guarantee you didn't learn that in public school. It was the Lord that put it into my mind. Now, boys and girls, it was the Lord that put it in. Christopher Columbus said, put it in. You say, well, we couldn't teach that. That's separation of church and state. No, 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 no. That's history. That's history. If we're going to teach history, let's teach it right. That don't mean we're endorsing it. That don't mean we're putting our approval on it. That means that's what happened. If he prayed to a rock, tell the kids he prayed to a rock. But don't deliberately leave it out. Just talk it's pro-Bible and pro-Christian. Amen? Come on now, say amen. I need you to amen once in a while. I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, America, don't you let this bunch of liberals or Democrats or whatever they want to call themselves, brother, they're all in the same group now. Don't you let them convince you that this nation was not founded upon Bible principles. It was. Oh, glory still waves tonight. We ought to be proud of that flag. I'm going to take some old actors like Sean Penn and all them that's degrading America and say, move wherever you want to move. This is still our country. This is still our God. This is still our Bible. And we still believe it. Amen. America's Christian heritage. George Washington said that religion and morality are indispensable supports of the United States of America. George Washington says, quote, it is impossible to rightly govern God and the world without God and the Bible. You reckon Hillary will say that? I doubt it, brother. You think Obama will say this? The Bible is the best book God ever given to man. They said on TV the other day, he was wearing a little flag and took it off. Is that right? Did y'all hear that? He was, so, what was it? Okay, somebody said he had one take it off or wouldn't wear it or something. Little flag, wouldn't wear it. Now, something wrong, the man runs president won't wear a flag on his jacket. You get mad if you want to, but if you ain't got no more sense than that, you don't deserve even to live in this country. Thank God, this is America.
That's our party. People died for that. So I could stand here and preach tonight. So I can be with you. So we can shout and run the aisles and have a good time. Brother, that's America's Christian heritage. Thank God for it. Don't be ashamed of it. We don't have the Muslims an apology. It's almost on TV. You think we're sorry. We don't mean to be over killing you. Our stupid president led us on there, and we're not for it. Well, please forgive us. What in the world is wrong with us, people? They came over and attacked us, knocked our buildings down, killed our people. Lord God, will us stand up for America for a change? Why in the world, if you wanted political advice, would you go to Hollywood? Lord have mercy. They can't straighten out their hair, let alone the country. Say amen. That old Bill Maher, dude, that's one of the wickedest men in America. That's out of the evil. He's empowered by Satan to deceive dumb people. It ain't nothing more sense than watch HBO every night at 11 o'clock or whenever it comes on. And, brother, he's deceived by the devil to deceive you. We have a cause to preserve our American heritage and our Christian heritage. They burned the flags. The ACLU is nowhere to be found when a Christian gets persecuted. Did you hear? Who was it told me this the other day? I want to make sure I get this right. Was it somebody in here told me this, that they had prayer? Oh, it was Brother Moses. He said that they had prayer in Iraq. Was it Marines? Marines were in a circle having prayer in Iraq. And the ACLU got a picture of it, I guess the internet or something, and sent it to their top officials and said, conduct, Marine Corps, and it said public land or something like that, government land, government employees, government, they're praying, what are you going to do about it? To the top Marine Corps. And his answer was to them, let the ACLU go to Iraq. Let them go there and fight it, brother. They'll do some praying too. Amen. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that we here in America, they don't say a word about the Muslims. They don't say a word about them teaching the Muslim faith in colleges. And they're worried about our boys in Iraq praying. Lord, have mercy. Brother, if I was in Iraq, I'd be doing some praying, believe me. I'd want the first boat out of there, brother, if I were. Plane. Ain't no boats in Iraq. But I want the first train out, brother. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, let's preserve America. There's something wrong in our country when we got people in America who hate America. They're hating America. They're hating our country that God's blessed us with. Something wrong with that. Don't you get caught up into that stuff. You thank God for your country. Thank God for our flag. Thank God for our Bible. We're to preserve our heritage. You young boys here, listen, don't ever like people who desecrate the flag and step on it and burn it, stuff like that. We're going to be proud that we can have the American flag and live here in this country. Amen. You wait. It's getting Christmas time again. I done heard it starting already. They said one school somewhere out west is already canceling. They're canceling Halloween, thank God, and Christmas because Ramadan, somebody got mad about Josh must teach my first place. We want to celebrate some food. Nobody ever heard of. And they wanted to celebrate something. And they said, well, if we can't celebrate this holiday, we'll have to wipe out the other ones too. This is America. We've always had Christmas. We've always had Thanksgiving. Well, we don't want to offend. Look, brother, if we don't want to like it, go back to wherever you come from and live there. If I went and lived in another country, I think you have to change all your holidays because it hurts my feelings. Lord, I expect to have to go along with their culture and what they do. We're crazy. We lost our mind in this country. God bless America. Christmas is a part of our heritage. Thank God for Christmas, brother. I'm a sucker for Christmas. I love the lights. I love the trees. I love presents when you buy them for me. Amen. Brother, I thank God for it. I hate Halloween. I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas. Halloween's of the devil. I'm glad to say tonight, brother, we have a Christian heritage in this country. Say amen right there. Thirdly tonight, we have a heritage. Notice how I quote a little Greek term, put a little conviction on you to get me a birthday present. Because my birthday present is on Pastor Appreciation Day this year.
So you got two presents. Number three, to reach families that are crumbling. To reach families that are crumbling. Me and a guy was on visitation one night, several years ago. This girl had this little baby. We were sitting there talking to it. The baby was about, I don't know, 8 months old, maybe 10 months old. And my buddy's talking to this girl. I said, "Boy, it's the cutest little thing I've ever seen. Won't you let me have that baby?" She said, "Here." Gave it to him. He raised that girl over in her 20s now. Gave it to him. We have a cause to reach families that are crumbling. One night, a 14-year-old girl came to me. She said, "Brother Danny, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." We sat down in my office. She starts crying. She said, "I'm scared to tell you." I said, "Well, what? Tell me. I don't care. What is it?" "She ain't going to tell me nothing I ain't heard before." She said, "I'm 14. She said, "I live at home." She said, "My mama works third shift." She said, "Our uncle lives with us." She said, "Daddy gets drunk every night. Mama's on the third. My uncle comes and forces himself on me." And she said, "If he said, if I told anybody that bad things would happen to me, that I could be killed or anything." I said, "You better tell." I knew another fellow, a young man, who was on crystal meth. He said, "Danny, when I look in the mirror, my face is the face of a devil." He said, "Sometimes I look in the mirror and I can see 666 run on my own head." You see, what kids don't realize about drugs is, when you take drugs that you're not supposed to be putting in your body, oh, you might feel good for them. That's a trick. That's the bait. You're stupid and can't see the hook. See, the fish can't, all he sees is that worm. He can't see that hook. That's all you see is the bait. You're like that stupid fish. You take that bait, and he said, "When I look in the mirror," he said, "I can see 666 on my head." He said, "Oh, Brother Danny, that's because he's been heard about." No, no, no. Why didn't he see a birthday cake? Why didn't he see God loves you? Why does it always kill your mama? Why does it always shoot your parents? Why don't, if these are just voices in their head, their imagination, why don't it ever tell them to do something good? Why does it always touch yourself? Listen, people. Are y'all listening to me? We are witnessing society crumble in front of our eyes. Our society is falling apart. There has never, ever in history been a nation who disregarded the home, abused children, turned homosexual, turned to alcohol, that ever survived. And we're not going to either. We've got a cause. We had this morning the opportunity of a lifetime. I got to stand here this morning and preach, and it was packed out right here with kids. That's the opportunity God's given us. If we don't pray, you know what we ought to do? Every one of us in here tonight ought to pray our fool heads off this week that the power of God will be in here next Sunday, so when them kids come in here, they can feel it. And you know that's right. You say, "Well, I want to go to church where they don't pressure me." There's plenty of them. "I'm going to pressure you. I'm going to push you. There's a cause." Teenagers now can buy look-alike drugs, getting them ready. You can buy no beer beer, you know, non-alcoholic beer. What's that? Just getting them ready. That's what Nickelodeon, you know, Nickelodeon is just getting them ready. Nickelodeon is owned by MTV. And it's just flash, Hannah Montana, and everybody just think, cool, that's just getting them ready to go in the next stage. I'm not saying all that little stuff is wicked, but it's preparing them for what's coming. I remember hearing Ralph Sexton tell that time. He said he had a cousin. His cousin got on drugs, and he said he locked himself in his room. And got on drugs and wouldn't let nobody in there. And he said, they called him over and said, Ralph, Ralph, would you help? He said, he went over there and they started beating on the door and they could hear him in there groaning and moaning. And he started and said, let me in, let me in. The boy locked the door. Finally, they got scared and locked, busted the lock and went in. And he said that boy was so messed up on drugs, he took a knife and he's cutting his teeth out. He was cutting his own teeth out down with his gums, and the blood was just pouring down his chest. And they said, what in the world is wrong with you? And he said, Alice told me to. And he's listening to Alice Cooper. And he said, Alice was talking to him through them tapes and through them CDs. Cut your teeth out.
Oh, you know what we do? We hide that. That stuff like that's going on all over this county tonight. And if you don't think your kids can get that, you're sticking your head in the sand. If I don't think my kids could, if you don't think your kids could, there's not a kid in here.
The devil wouldn't do that to you in a minute. And it's our responsibility.
So pray with God. We'll get rid of our church.
So that our boys and girls will say, I want that and not that. Number four, and I'm through. There's a cause tonight because there's a hell. There's a hell. If there wasn't no hell, it wouldn't be so important. That's why thousands of hours of work and prayer and sweat goes into the work of God. That's why tens of millions of dollars are given to mission fields. That's why preachers work and build buildings and pray and go to school and prepare and study, because deep down inside, we believe there's a hell. We believe what the Bible says about hell. We believe people's burning in hell tonight. We believe right down there below our feet tonight, there's people screaming. Look, if there wasn't no hell, I'd just sort of kick back and take it easy and enjoy life and say, you know, I've screamed my head off for a solid month, man. I've went day and night. I've neglected my own family, my mom. You know why? Because down inside, I believe if people don't get saved, they're going to burn in hell. They're going to burn forever, and they ain't getting out. And they're going to burn. They're going to burn. Your family will burn. Your kinfolks will burn. Your neighbors are going to burn. Them bus kids are going to burn. Their families are going to burn. They're going to burn in hell. That's why we need to have a bus ministry. That's why we need. I heard about this boy and girl who were dating. Boy about 17, 18, girl about 16. She went and picked her up from school. She snuck out of school and left school, and their mama didn't know it. And they left, and he had a fifth of whiskey, and they were drinking it. And that boy got drunk near somewhere, I think down toward Florida somewhere, and they went flying across one of them bridges, and he lost control of that car, and that car flipped over that bridge and into that water, and it sank, and it killed them, drowned them both. And they said when the EMS got there, they pulled that car up out of that water. And they said when they pulled it out, that boy who was driving was in the back seat with his head was turned all the way around, cocked in a weird position where it just broke his neck. The girl who was in the passenger seat, her head was down at the gas pedal and her feet was up over the driver's seat, and she was dead. And they said her hand was on that door. And her hand was on that door like, I want out of here. I want out of here. I got to thinking about that. They want out. There's crack addicts in Morganton that really want out. But they don't think there is no way out. They don't think there's no hope. They think they can't quit. They think, I've done got hooked. I can't stop. There's a cause for us. That's where we come in. Now, I'm going to put a little pressure on here tonight, and I ain't going to feel guilty about it. Everybody in here needs to be doing something to keep people from going to hell. It ain't going to kill you to get a track and leave it where you go eat or hand it to the waiter. It's not going to kill you, folks. Some of y'all, you won't even put a bumper sticker on your car. You're ashamed to make people think you're a fanatic. One of these days, you'll look back and you'll say, dear God, I wish I'd done more. I wish I'd have said more. I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now. I'm your friend. I love you. And I thank God for our church. I'm not bragging, but our church is probably hitting more houses every week than any church in this county. I'm sure we are. But we ain't doing a half of what we could be. You get so wrapped up in your own little self, in your own life, with your own problems, your own job, your own bills, your own, that you forget the whole world. And tonight, I want to tell you, we've got a cause. Now, I'm going to ask for two or three things tonight. First thing I want you to do is bow your head. Come on. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. She's playing softly. Tonight, and if you want to come and pray, come and pray, and then we're going to talk for a little bit. We're going to have all-day visitation Saturday. Don't you deep down know if you really tried, you can do it. If you really wanted to. You'd help us. Help us to realize there's a cause. Bless tomorrow night, revival, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Let everybody go and give us a good night. Holy Ghost, do something in our hearts right now.